and he's obviously on track and doing well. Jordan Matthews, again, just a little sore in his ankle, so we're going to just hold him today and make sure he's, again, good for it. He'll be fine for the game. We're going to hold Darren Sproles. He's in the protocol still, so nothing really new there until he clears all that. And then Big V as well. We'll hold him again today. Just today. Yeah, and we'll see where he's at tomorrow. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So are you expecting him to be able to play right tackle?
I'm expecting him to play. You know, right now we're going to give Isaac all those reps over there and see where he's at. But, you know, Allen's a veteran guy that has played there, so he doesn't need a ton of reps necessarily to get himself ready to go. More
with
mental
Isaac,
for him.
With Isaac, how much has he practiced at tackle before this, and would he be ready to play?
Yeah, a little bit way back in the spring, if that's any indication. You know, he's been more guard. He's gotten some tackle on the service team, you know, going against our defense, things like that over the last couple of weeks. But obviously nothing with our offense. It's been more guard and that tight end position.
Brandon Brooks.
What's going on with Brandon Brooks?
Not right now. You know, we're still kind of diving into the bottom of it. It's you know, in the hands of our medical staff, and they're dealing with it.
He's practicing today.
If
Barber's able to go at right tackle, will Isaac start at left guard, or will that still be Wiz?
Left guard will be Wiz. Yes. Yeah.
Doug, what have you learned in all this time playing without Lane Johnson? What have you learned? Have you learned anything about Lane and his value? And does the disappointment grow as things unfolded the way they did?
Well, I think the biggest thing, the glaring thing, is we're on our fifth right tackle. And with Lane, and you know, we weren't going through this. So you're asking guys to kind of play out of position. You know, Allen's been a guard, and then you know, Big V, young rookie player, and gets hurt, and then you know Matt Tobin gets hurt, and you know, so now we're on our fifth. But you know, he's a veteran player, and he is a tackle, and you know, we're just looking forward to next week and getting him back.
The last two games, Carson has dropped back 50 or more times, and then over the last seven, I think it's 47 pass attempts for an average. Do you want to manage that better? I know there's circumstances in each different game in Cincinnati get down, but do you want to manage that better, the amount?
I'd love to manage that a little bit more for him. You know, I think it's putting him in a tough situation, and as you mentioned, you know, we've gotten behind. You know, last week, the two-minute drive to go down, and everything was a throw, and then the week before, down so early and so fast that we had to throw the ball. But I would love to be able to manage it, you know, lean on that offensive line more with the run game. Obviously, you know, we're going against a tough run defense this week, and yet we still have to be patient with that to help our quarterback.
Starting with Baltimore's number one in the league against the run. Does that, I know you want the balance that you just talked about, but does that play on your mind that we're going against the number one run defense?
And there's ways to run the ball. You just don't have to necessarily line up and try to run at them. You know, we do some things with our RPO game. I even think the three-step passing game, the quick passing game, can kind of offset your run game a little bit, and it keeps your quarterback from being hit. But you're still going to have to line up and try to go toe-to-toe with a good defense.
Named him starting quarterback. You obviously had a long-term plan for this season with Carson, and games dictate different things. But did you foresee him passing this much this late in the season, or did it kind of change and evolve as the season went on?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate him throwing the ball quite as much. You know, I felt that he was capable of doing it, but you never want to expose a young rookie quarterback to that. And listen, he's done some outstanding things for us in the run game and in the passing game. And, you know, have we asked a lot of him? Yeah, we have, and he's handled it extremely well. And, you know, it's just making him a better quarterback for not only the rest of this season but for the future.
Doug, you said pretty early that Carson was very vocal about what plays he wanted, et cetera, and he did a good job of expressing that to you. You've also said recently that he's done a good job of telling you in terms of personnel with guys, maybe – he wants to voicing a little more of Trey Burton. How has he gone about voicing more of that with the coaches?
I mean, it's open dialogue, you know, and I welcome that. And you know, obviously as coaches, we tend to have the final say on certain things. But listen, he's the quarterback, and he's comfortable with all his receivers, but at the same time, he's got more time invested with guys like Ertz and Trey, and so we keep working with everybody, and DGB's missed the last two, so we're really a game and a half, so we get him back, and now he can get back in the fold, so I enjoy those conversations, whether it's during the week or on the sideline, as we piece a game plan together.
Do you have any memories of Harbs from the year you were? I know you played special teams in '99, but did you foresee him having the kind of coaching career he's gone on to have?
You know, it's one thing about special teams coaches, and Harbs was definitely this way. He's with the team as much as I am, because he's with everybody, and a lot of times special teams coaches can make good head coaches, and he's definitely done that in Baltimore. And I think, too, he's over the years, he's brought in great assistant coaches, good coordinators, offensively, defensively, and on special teams. And the way he leads, some of the same things that, just for that one year that I was here that I can remember, the things he did with special teams and those meetings, you see him doing it with this football team. And very smart guy. And look forward to shaking his hand this weekend.
Studying Joe Flacco this week, what kind of sticks out about him with you? And also, have you noticed any similarities between him and Carson?
Yeah, as far as, obviously their size and arm strength are very similar. I think Joe throws the deep ball extremely well. He's very accurate with the deep pass. He's another one that can get the ball out of his hand extremely fast. He can set his feet and get the ball out. I think one thing that, watching this offense, with Marty, calling the plays, you see a little bit more of what we do a little bit, with the quote unquote West Coast stuff, the core plays that are there, and utilizing the personnel. He understands his personnel and he's a very patient quarterback, and he just sort of lets the game unfold and takes what the defense can give him and manages it that way. And if he gets an opportunity to shoot the ball down the field, he's going to do it, and he's very accurate doing that.
The offensive line, getting back to the offensive line, it's kind of been mix and match since Lane has gone. How much has that impacted this team where it sits today at 5-8?
It can definitely affect you, the cohesiveness, especially with those five guys, up front, because that's such a close unit. They have to communicate every play, on every play, run or pass, and that's always a close group. And anytime it gets disrupted, it just sort of takes a little bit out of them a little bit. But the one thing I think that this group is really hung together. There's some great leaders there with Kelsey and Jason Peters, and I think these guys have really kind of kept it all together. And then Wiz is another one that's had a lot of games, and again, just putting all those pieces together can be a little disruptive for your offense, and yet they're fighting and battling and working through it.
You're up to 15 false start penalties this year, Doug, including 24 and 15 at home, which suggests that it's not just the noise that's causing a lot of them. Is there a common thread there is there any kind of cadence situation with Carson that people are getting?
Yeah, It goes back, I think, a little bit to, we utilize and we use so many cadences. The other thing, too, is as playing, when you play the quarterback position and you see the defense react in a certain way, you can pause your cadence and redirect protection. And sometimes you might, as a lineman, you might hear something that might simulate the snap count and it triggers a false start. When we use the silent count, it's obviously predicated on the tap and the head movement by Kelsey. And we as tackles, we teach them to anticipate that. So, again, with a new quarterback, a young quarterback, you keep working through it and you keep working on it in practice. And it's something that we know we have to address and fix it.
All parts of the game are obviously connected. Do you feel like what's been happening on offense is having a direct impact on the defense to where – their productivity has gone down as the season has gone along?
It can affect that. I think they're, midseason, we We struggled on third down, obviously, so our defense was out there a little bit more. You know, one of the things that we've done a little bit better here in the last couple of weeks is third down efficiency has been better. We've stayed on the field, time of possession, all that stuff. I mean, you look at the game Sunday, the time of possession and just the number of plays, you know, that were run by both teams was really skewed, you know, but it should indicate that you should win those games. But obviously we had a couple red zone turnovers offensively, that negated some touchdowns, and we can't do that. You know, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot that way. And I do believe that sometimes if you can't get off the field on third down defensively, but yet same way offensively, if you can't convert those third downs, it's going to affect you in the long run.
Brandon Brooks, have you talked to him, and do you have any reason to believe this won't happen again? Do you have any – I mean, can you go into Sunday thinking, you know, feeling secure about having him out there?
We talked again yesterday, the only thing I know and really is that, we're helping him and getting him ready. I have full confidence in him that he'll be ready, obviously you I think now we can maybe anticipate, but at the same time, we expect him to now that we're kind of on the right track, I think that this hopefully doesn't happen again.
So is there anything you can do Friday, Saturday leading up to Sunday? I mean,
no. I mean, with him?
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Do you know what's happening, or do you?
I mean, you can't. You know, it's just you can't. You don't know.
So you don't know what's causing it, but you feel good that it won't happen again.
I mean, when do you feel sick?
I've never missed a day of work.
There you go.
I don't know. But it's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing, and that's why we're our medical team is on it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks guys.